desire your prayers this morning. And I'll add a little explanation to part of that. I need prayer for my throat too. So hopefully it'll cooperate. Have a few little thoughts this morning that desire the Lord's help in. But to start off with, I want to perform a little demonstration. And it actually involves food. So just a fair warning to those that haven't eaten much this morning, you're really hungry, just bear with me for a few minutes this morning. Thank you. And there's really not enough to go around, so I apologize for that. But I'll save some, a little bit afterwards if you want a few little pieces. It's not a full course meal, so don't get your hopes up. How many of you think that'll feed? One bag of chips. So I want to talk about food a little bit this morning and talk about some restaurants a little bit too. Those are a couple of my favorite subjects, and as you can tell. But so first of all, I want you all to take a good look at this bag of chips. It's Lay's Wavy Original Family Size Chips. And paid about $4.50 for this bag, and it was bought at a gas station. But so if you notice, it looks like a full bag, doesn't it? Yeah, looks like a full bag. Emphasis on looks. But I think most all of us know and understand that really it's a half a bag, because that's all air. So the chips start right here. So it's a half a bag of chips. So that's another problem. There won't be quite enough to go all the way around. But anyway, so pardon the noise. I'm going to pour some in here. Wow. All right, so just looking at this, if I was to ask you all, and you could give me an honest answer, does this look like a full bowl of chips? What do y'all say? Yeah. For the most part, everyone agrees that's a full bag, full bowl of chips. And I agree, it looks full. And probably not too many could eat all that in one setting by themselves, but there may be a few in here that could. But, full bowl of chips. How many times have you been to a restaurant and you order what you think is a full portion of whatever, and they bring it to your table, or you pick it up at the counter and it ends up being about a half a portion? You're like, is this what I paid for? I had that happen not too long ago a couple of times. Well, I'll share some good and bad stories about McDonald's, but anyway, there's a couple of times we'd order like a McFlurry and get the McFlurry and they hand it to you, and I'm like, and I'm honestly looking at it, and I'm not exaggerating, it was only about half full, a McFlurry. And I'm like, this is it? I thought they were pranking me, honestly. It was a young teenager that was, I thought, are they just pulling my leg? And they're like, yeah, there you go. I'm like, okay. I paid for a full one, and I get a half one. Not too impressed. Those things aren't cheap anyway. And so I'm like, okay. But you know, there's been other times where maybe you order a hot fudge sundae or something. And you know, I have had cases where they put lots of hot fudge and they fill that thing all the way to the top. In fact, where it's messy. It's like just running out over. They put the lid and it's just coming out all over. I'm like, that's all right. I can handle that. I'll clean it up and it's all right. But I've also got them where, again, about half full. I paid for a full one. But just some examples. So when you order a full bowl of chips, that's what you would expect, for the most part. So now I want to shift gears here a little bit. And I actually want to read a scripture in Luke, the 6th chapter. Verse in Luke 6, verse 38. It says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." That's quite a little scripture. And you know, it's a practical scripture. And I believe we could all go around the room here today and share experiences of this type of situation. So I'm going to write on the board here. I want to talk about good measure. That's what I have written on the board. And good measure, not so much meaning that you're accurate in measuring what you have poured out or dipped out. As in you get right to the line, it's right exact, and that's a good measure. It's not really meaning that. And we'll get into what this means here in a bit. It says, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." So again, I have here a full bowl of chips. So it looks. But what this scripture is really talking about is back in these days, there were grain merchants that would fill up your container. You would come and you'd buy a container of grain from a grain merchant. And they would pour it in. But many of the grains, you could actually compact them and shake them down a little bit, just like I'm fixing to do with these chips. So yes, I'm going to ruin some nice chips here. So bear with me. So I'm just going to... So the merchant pours in the grain. It comes up full. He's like, "No, I can do better than that." So he smashes it down, shakes it a little bit. Says, "Okay, I can do better." And he tops it off to the extent, whoops, some spill over. Little emphasis there. But the point is, I'll clean that up later. The point is, he wanted to make sure that the customer knew they were getting their full share, what they were coming to purchase. In fact, he was willing to let it spill over a little bit in their lap as they're holding the container. And they're like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa." And it just keeps coming. He's like, "It's all right. I want to make sure you get your full good measure." So that's what we have here. And where it overflows. A few on the floor there. Yeah, little mess. So, but this is truly a good measure. When you first looked at that bag of chips, and I could even compact it more and fit more in here. But the point is, you can truly fit more in a small container than that than you realize. Now, the suppliers of chips and the marketing strategies are, well, we want to make sure that there's plenty of air in the bag to protect the chips. But you know, an interesting fact, I've actually bought some particular brands of chips. I've actually bought where they were totally full. I'm thinking, if they can do it, surely these other the suppliers can do it too. But no, they don't. Usually it's about a half a bag of chips. But again, this is an example. End up putting a whole bag in here, overflowing of a good measure. And you know, back in the Bible days, there were a lot of personal interactions, transactions like this. They would truly trade and swap merchandise. If they didn't have coins, gold or silver, they would trade merchandise. So perhaps someone came bringing maybe some tools. Maybe they're a woodworking person or whatever. They had some tools and they wanted to trade for some grain. So you think about this. The person, the grain merchant, has a bunch of this grain. He's thinking, you know what? He's been a good trader. And I want to really get across to him that he means something to me. And I want him to keep coming back. So what do you think he's going to do? He's going to do a good measure. He's not just going to fill it up and like, "Yep, that's it. just hand it to him, and there you go. No, he's like, hang on just a second. Let me push that down and pack it in and shake it a little bit and pour some more in. Because he wants a good transaction. He wants that person to go back and say, you know what? They treated me really good. So next time, I'm gonna pick out my best tool to trade with him the next time. You know, that's how business was done back then. And if we're honest with ourselves, these type of things actually take place in our day and age too, do they not? And I mentioned restaurants earlier. And I'm sure I just shared the story earlier about the little McFlurries and the Sundays at McDonald's. I've had good and bad experiences on both sides of it. But you know, there's other examples. I don't think any of us like to go to a restaurant that has poor service, do we? No, we don't. And in fact, if you go to that restaurant too many times and it's repeatedly bad service or bad food, or it's really hot and their air conditioner never works, after a while, I just don't go back. I don't know about you all, but I'm paying money, you know, and I want to enjoy, you know, the occasion, maybe, you know, a birthday dinner or an anniversary dinner or something. I want something nice. And if I'm paying money for this, I want to enjoy my experience. Well, in life, I don't think any of us like to feel like we've been cheated, do we? I mentioned earlier about the little half cup McFlurry. I don't know what, $3 or something? And just, they're not that big. And they literally handed it to me, and I was seriously thinking they were joking, and I'm looking for a little smile or a little giggle or something. Like, oh no, here's your real one, you know. But no, they didn't do that. Here's your McFlurry. I spent $3 for a half a cup of a McFlurry. And I'm like, okay, I know of places I can go where I can get three times that much for half the price. But anyway, but there is something about where you expect something. Especially if they advertise. Have you ever had that happen before too? You see these advertisements, whether it's on their billboard or you see flyers that they send to you in the mail or whatever. Or maybe they have a little sample of it at the front counter of what this special is supposed to look like. And you're like, yeah, I'll take such and such. It looks really good. And then you order it and you get the meal and it's set down and like, that's the same thing? You don't really want to say that, but that's what you're thinking. And like, okay. But you know what? I've been to restaurants where I order something. I'm like, yeah, I'm hungry, you know, and looks good. And order it. And they bring it to the table or I pick it up at the counter. And I'm going, whoa, this is it? Awesome. Like twice the size of what I had envisioned, you know. And I'm like, I can handle this. I'm going to be coming back here. I want to read this scripture again. It says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. So I mentioned earlier that none of us want to feel like we've been cheated a little bit. And it goes beyond just restaurants. It goes beyond just food. That's an easy one because I think most all of us can relate to that. Doesn't matter how old we are. But I think we can all relate to that. But you know, there's so many, many other aspects of our lives that we can actually give a good measure. I'll give you another example. And yes, this was again at another little restaurant. I don't even remember where it was. But I remember seeing at the counter of this little restaurant that there was a little sign that the management had taped to the counter. And it was for the clerk or the cashier for them to read it. But I could read it. It was pretty simple to read. But you know what I know what this sign said? It said, let me find it here. It said, you be the reason someone smiles today. And that was for the clerk or for the cashier. They were the ones reading that. They were the management's the ones that put that there for them. That you be the reason someone smiles today. you know, I think that's good advice. And that's good advice not just for a cashier. I've worked retail before, and I understand that. I get it. In fact, that's what the owner said. Like, always have a pleasant smile. And sometimes that's hard to do. Especially when it's a grumpy customer or whoever, you know. And maybe things just aren't going so well. But find a way. Be creative. Find a way to get that person, that customer, to get that person to smile. There's something about it. Because, you know what? It'd make me want to come back, you know, to be treated pleasantly and politely. If I was the customer. So let's expand upon this a little bit. A smile is a good place to start. But you know, it goes beyond that. You think of many aspects of life. How about just genuine love? A good measure of love. Do you know what a good measure of love will do? You know, if you really love someone, you realize you're going to give them a little bit of space. You understand what I'm talking about? You're going to give them a little space. And you know what? They may not quite measure up to what I'm expecting here or what I'm assuming, but I love them so much, it's okay. I'll give them another chance. That's love, okay? And that bleeds over into the other aspect of mercy. A good measure of mercy. When truly someone does not deserve it, okay? But they extend them mercy anyway. A good measure, and think about this, folks. The Scripture's talking about, of course, literally, it's applying to grain. That's what the Scripture's talking about. But do you think Jesus was just stopping at that point? No. Jesus demonstrated this with his life. He had a good measure of love to where it was overflowing. Where he loved the saint and sinner alike. His disciples, he loved them. The sinners, he loved them too. You see? That's real love. It goes beyond just the surface. It goes beyond the track record, what I know about them. It's no, I'm going to love you anyway. And I'm going to give you some space. And I'm going to give you, extend some mercy upon your behalf. And what about just good old kindness? You know, this world, this is where the rubber meets the road sometimes. I'm just going to mention one word, and I think you guys will know what I'm talking about. Road rage. You know, as the days and years go by, and the more I drive, the more I realize there's just a lot of folks out there, they're just itching for an opportunity to express their frustration and their anger, and they had a bad day, and they woke up on the wrong side of the bed type of thing, you know. And no, they're not going to smile, and if you get in my way, I'm going to show you who's boss. You know what I'm saying? That type of attitude. In fact, it gets to the point where it's just comical sometimes. But unfortunately, it's where we live. Now, those that live in the little quiet communities, it's not as big a deal. It can still happen there. But those that are truly out there running the highways up and down, having to drive in the cities, you really know what I'm talking about. We have a couple of folks here that drive for a living, so they know exactly what I'm talking about. But truly, kindness can go so far. And it can be as simple as this. Now just think about this for a minute. It's as simple as even if you're in the grocery store. And you see long lines everywhere. We're going to talk about this is real living here. And you see a mother and a bunch of children in a full cart. And you get up to the line right at the same time. You know, it's so easy. Like, I'm in a hurry and I don't want to go through those self-check things. I want to go through my own line, you know. So easy. Like, you just want to dart right in front of them. That's probably the natural reaction. But you know, kindness, because maybe the child's fussing and the mama's tired from shopping all afternoon. Kindness would be, why don't you go on ahead? And you know what I've seen happen more times than not? When a person really does that, and maybe you only have a few things anyway, that person will go, oh no, you go on ahead. You know, that puts everybody in a much better mood when the kindness is expressed both ways. And then you get up to the checkout line, and guess what? Yes, there's been cashiers that's like, they move the speed of a sloth. And we're like, okay. And you know, it's a natural reaction to go, but you know, another thing, and go back to that little sign I saw that someone had on the counter at the register. You be the reason someone else smiles. You know, that's, you would think, well, that should be for the person that's offering their services, like the cashier. But you know, it can go for us too. And sometimes it can be a challenge. You're like, you know what? I want to see if I can get them to smile. You know? Tell a funny little story or tell a story on yourself or whatever. But just try to lighten the load. And you know what? When you lighten the load for someone else, guess what happens? It lightens the load for yourself. It really does. Try it. But this is where we live, folks. A good measure. In other words, don't just come in and do the bare minimum. That's what I demonstrated earlier, pouring the first round of chips in here. I just poured it in and I stopped. I reached the top. That's it. That's all that's required. It's full. Can't you tell? But no, a good measure. Wait just a second. Push it down. Settle it down. Let me put some more in there. Going the extra mile when not necessary. That will prove a point. You know what that proves to the other person? That you care about them. And you know what? There are millions of souls out there right now today that need to feel like someone cares about them. And it may be you or I are the ones that God has put in their pathway to demonstrate God's love. Because God's love, as I said earlier, it's overflowing. He loves everyone. And He demonstrates that every day, every hour of every day. Just like Jesus demonstrated in the flesh. He loved the publican, He loved the Pharisees, He loved the disciples, He loved everyone. He gave him a good measure of love, and of mercy, and of kindness. I want to touch on another one here this morning. How about a good measure of respect? Have to swallow a little bit on that one, don't we? No, it's a challenge. Quite honestly, there are folks that get in a position of authority that's not easy to respect. Is that not true? Maybe by their actions, maybe because they don't live according to God's word like you expect them to, whether it's a boss or a co-worker or your next door neighbor or an extended family member that you do not like to see them at the family reunions. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, but respect. You know what that, Jesus, again, exercised and demonstrated the utmost respect. You remember when he was in Pilate's hall there, when he was being tried the night of his crucifixion. You know, Jesus was truly the one in authority there. He really was. He could have just struck everyone dead right there if he wanted to. But Jesus didn't do that. In fact, when he was challenged, you claim to be the king of the Jews? And Jesus said, thou sayest. He didn't ramble on and rant. He's like, now let me tell you how the cow ate the cabbage. You know, Jesus didn't do that. And he could have. He respected his position because God placed him there. Okay? And you know, it's so easy for you and I in life to maybe not visibly disrespect someone, but you know what? You can disrespect them behind their backs. You can belittle them. You can poke fun at them. You can spread stories and rumors about them that maybe they never hear, but everyone else hears them. That's actually disrespecting them, especially if they are your superior, if they're your boss, you know, all those things. But just humans in general, they may be your peer. They may be someone below you, but that still does not give you the right to go around spreading things about them, saying, well, that's just so-and-so. And they never can do that. And they always do that. Those words, always and never, all, That can be a little tricky sometimes. But respect for one another, that can go so far, folks. And we see a lack of that. And it's more than just this younger generation. You know what? This younger generation has learned it from someone else. Think about that. That's a challenge to those of us in the middle age group and even the elders, that we be the examples of true respect to everyone, every God-given place that God has. That's a challenge. Now I want to go on to another part. How about a good measure of just a helping hand? You know, life is so busy, folks. It really is. Sometimes we get home at night, and before we go to bed, I think we could all probably attest to this. We're all like, well, I got this done, I got that done, but I didn't get this done, and I didn't get that done, and I have no energy left to do anything else. And then you get a phone call, or you get a text, or a child walks in your, or whatever, needing some attention, needing some time. And it may just be a conversation. It may not be actually having to fix anything. That can be part of it too. But maybe the helping hand is truly just a listening ear, a sounding board. But a good measure of it, you know, it is so easy. Someone can be talking to you and you're trying to help them. And then you ever have this happen? Some other thought comes in your mind about something else you're needing to do next or you're needing to do tomorrow, because maybe something they said triggered something about that. You know what I'm saying? And before long, you can be like, oh no, what were they just talking about? That can be a challenge. But you know, a good measure of a helping hand, a good listening ear, can go so far for all of us. A good measure, not just the legal amount. You see what I'm saying? Go beyond that. Go the extra mile. And if we're honest with ourselves, we've had people do that for us. I mentioned earlier, because I like talking about food, but we went to a restaurant earlier this year. It was a new Mexican restaurant up there in Joplin, and we hadn't been to it yet, so Sheila and I were able to go one evening. And we hadn't really talked to anyone about reviews about it. We didn't even look it up. We're like, you know, let's just try it out. Let's just see for ourselves. And I want to tell you something. Everything about that experience was positive. It was good. And so guess what? The next opportunity we had, that we were hungry for Mexican, I was like, why don't we try that same place again? She's like, yeah, let's do that. And you know what? The second time was the same pleasant experience. And think about this, okay? Let's just try it. I'm going to try to paint you a picture here. It was in the evening time. We were tired and we were hungry. We wanted a nice, at least halfway quiet place to relax. We didn't want a bunch of, you know, ruckus going on. So we pull in there. It was a nice, clean parking lot. Yes, the parking lot was clean. The grass was manicured, had flowers. Of course, the building was new, so they have a lot of advantages there. You walk up, and as soon as we walked in, someone greeted us. And yes, that's important too. How many times do we walk in and maybe you wait 5 minutes before someone ever actually acknowledges you? But no, someone is waiting. That's their job. That's their post of duty. You walk in there first. Well, good evening. How can we help you? You know, and whatever. I mean, just very accommodating. And then they take us to our seat and they give us exactly what we request. And then the waitress, she's very pleasant, not overly pushy, but yet she never forgot about us, always keeping an eye on our glasses, always keeping an eye on the tray, all those things, just very attentive. And then the food was amazing. And they asked, is everything good? Like, oh yes, very good. Anything else we can, just everything about it was very pleasant. It wasn't too hot, it wasn't too cold. All those things. And it made us want to go back. And I still want to go back again. But, you know, I think we can relate this to our lives. I believe, that's just my own little butchism here. But I believe God wants us to live our lives like a good, successful restaurant. Just think about that. Just think about it for a little bit. Because if you've had some bad experiences at some restaurants, do you know what happens? You're going to tell other people about it. Like, don't go there. Or don't order such and such. Or don't get this waitress or waiter. You know what I'm saying? Warning, 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 you know. Like, well, there's a couple little good things, but no, how about it when you go to an awesome restaurant and when you're done, someone asks, like, oh yeah, I'll give them an awesome review. Here's, I like this about it and all these positive things. But you know, in the day and age we live in, there are folks out there looking for, get this, a good spiritual restaurant. A place they can go in, someone they can talk with, that truly accommodates them, that will listen to them, that will make them smile, that will make them want to share and to open up, and that will offer them something good to eat spiritually. You know what I'm saying? A testimony. And you're gentle and kind about it. Not condemning and not just, you know, going on a rant about whatever, but showing true respect to them, to yourself, and to everyone else in your life, not running anyone down. You see what I'm saying? Running it like a successful restaurant. And when it's all said and done, the person leaves and they're like, I like that. I'll go back to that. You see what I'm saying? I believe God's church, His universal church, that's everywhere on the face of this earth, where true believers follow God's law and His words and His commandments. And they follow Jesus' example of how He demonstrated a good measure of love and of mercy and of gentleness and of respect and all those things. That is attractive to this world that is lost, that is hurting, that feels all alone, that feels rejected. Time and time again, where the city that is set on a hill, God's church is saying, here's Mount Zion. One of the songs we sang earlier. It was called the Mountain of Love. And we're not talking just the legal amount here. We're talking about a church. We're talking about God's people that are willing to go the extra mile. That means when someone says something bad about you, you go home and you pray for them. And you pray for yourself. That's a good measure of love. That's showing respect. That's showing mercy. That I could have gone out and just smeared their name. But no, I'm going to go back home and talk to my Heavenly Father about it. That's a good measure of love. Pressed down and settled. And you keep practicing that. You know, it's amazing how a person can, if we can say it this way, train themselves. You know, I know all of us in this room have different ways of how we eat. Talking about food again. How we hold our forks, our spoons, glasses, how we position everything. I mean, everybody has their own way. Some are quiet eaters, some are loud eaters. Some are neat eaters, some are messy eaters. And all in between. But you know, a lot of that goes back to how we've trained ourselves, allowed ourselves to eat. Maybe the parents never really cared. They're like, hey, here's the food, eat it. They didn't care. They didn't care if you, you know, slurped everything up, picked it up with your hands, you know. But others are much more meticulous, like, no, we'll train you to do this and this and this. But we are trainable. And the reason I'm bringing this point up is there are folks in this world today that they will use the excuse, well, I don't know how to give a good measure. Because maybe I didn't have that shown to me. And you know, I can see there's a certain amount of, that can be a legitimate concern. But we cannot allow that to hinder us from endeavoring to follow Jesus' example of a good measure. Because we can always find someone out there that figured it out. You understand what I'm saying? We can always find someone out there that with the good Lord's help and His Holy Spirit can teach us all things, as the Scripture says, can bring all things to our remembrance. But yes, by our own, we will fail. But what that Scripture is saying is we need the Spirit of the Lord that He can teach us things. He can actually put people in our lives trying to teach us lessons of life, how to give a good measure. And you know what those lessons mean sometimes? It can be that boss that's hard to respect. And God's saying, I want to teach you something here, child. But it's so easy to say, no, I just want out of here. And that's fine. You could go on to the next job. And guess what? God may give you another boss that's really hard to respect. And you know what? If you continue down that path, and you maybe continue down that path for years, you've trained yourself that I can't give a good measure of respect. That it's always someone else's fault. It's never mine. But you know what? The Spirit of the Lord has a way of making us, as the Scripture says, be looking at the Scripture as a mirror. That we can look at ourselves and say, oh Lord, I got some problems here. I'm not having a good measure of all these attributes that I need to have. And you know what? God is so merciful. God is so patient that He will give us the time and the opportunity to retrain ourselves. You know, He can do that. Thank God He can. Because if that wasn't the case, we would all be in a mess. We would. But God is so merciful. I want to read some more scriptures here in 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians 9. Second Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7. It says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You know, those are good words to live by. It really is. And you know what? It works. I know we could all tell of many examples of individuals that have given to us generously. And I'm not just talking about money here this morning. We're talking about giving of all these things we were talking about earlier. They gave when they were in a difficult place, and yet they gave. They gave of their love and their respect and their mercy and their kindness and their gentleness. And they didn't just give the legal amount. They gave a good measure. More than what was necessary. And you know what? That's what touches hearts. And that's what touches God. And that's the rest of this little story here this morning, folks. Is God sees when we go above and beyond. Not that we're wanting any, like, tooting our horn or like, hey, fame and recognition here. Look what I just did. You know what? Look what the good measure I gave someone here. No, it's not talking about that. But God has a way through His divine providence. As the Scripture says, we reap what we sow. But God has a way that when we have sowed, what's it say here? Bountifully, we will reap bountifully. And how many times have we seen that true come to fruition? Whether it's teachers, whether it's bosses, whether it's parents, grandparents, you take the whole long list. And I've seen where they have given their whole heart and more. And you know what? Those that follow behind them, all they can say is, wow, they were so good to me. They were so kind to me. They were so merciful to me. And they really helped me out. And maybe they had no clue how they touched their life. But they sowed bountifully, a good measure, running over, okay? And it touched hearts and lives. And God saw that. And God has a way of paying us back. However He seems, sometimes it may be in this life. Sometimes we may not ever see it in this life, though we may receive it. But you know, above and beyond that, it's the eternal reward. That's something that, oh, Lord help us. When we get to that other side, and we realize how good God has been to us, and the good measure of all those things that He's done for us, we make it to the other side, we're like, oh Lord, thank You. We praise You. It's amazing. But the reality is, sometimes in this life, it's hard to see those things. But I want to remind us again, through the Spirit of the Lord, God can reveal things to us. God can give us a comfort. And God can give us courage that we are on the right path. Maybe we have been giving good measure and overflowing of all these things for years for someone or for a group of people or for a situation. And it's like, I don't see anything. I'm not reaping any benefits yet. I don't see where's the harvest? Be patient. Scripture says, don't be weary in well-doing, for you will reap in the end. You will reap the good things. You will reap the bountiful things. God's going to give you, the Scripture talks about, if He'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. But the first part of that is, we have to practice the good measure. That's talking about bringing all the tithes into the storehouse, is what that Scripture's saying. I believe it's in Malachi. But we have to do our part first. We can't sit back and wait for God to do His part or the other person to do their part. No, we are the ones that are to give a good measure, not just the bare minimum legal amount. But the Scripture also says, so let him give, not grudgingly or out of necessity. Oh, so-and-so told me so, so I got to do this. Okay, how much love was in that? Nah. But it says, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You know, that goes a long ways, does it not? And how many times have we seen someone, we know that they are pressed in so many ways, yet they persevere. And they with joy do what they are called to do. And they continue on and they press on through all the obstacles, though it may be some personal obstacles or other obstacles or whatever, but they cheerfully give. In other words, they don't give it to you and go, well, here you go. That type of attitude. No, it's just a second here. I think I can add some more. Now, is that, there you go. You know, that type of attitude. Cheerfully, how far that will go. And we think about these scriptures this morning and the little demonstration. We all have, everyone in this room, young and old alike, we all have perfect opportunities every day to demonstrate a good measure. A good measure of love. A good measure of mercy, a good measure of respect, a good measure of kindness, a good measure of gentleness, a good measure of so many things, a helping hand, a smile. And you know, here's the thing. I know we've all heard this many times, what I just said, but God is the one looking down. And He's the one, let me demonstrate this. He's the one that's actually taking notes about your life and about my life. He knows when we're giving cheerfully. He knows when we're giving good measure. He knows when maybe we perform outwardly, but inwardly, it's the exact opposite. You see what I'm saying? Such as giving grudgingly and giving out of necessity and giving grumpily. Anyway, but the point is, God's the one that's taking the notes. Not me. Not you. You know what? We do sometimes, do we not? We remember Just like the restaurants, we remember the good ones and the bad ones, and we will share. But above and beyond all of that, God is the one. He is the one ultimately that's going to judge what we have done in our body, with our heart, with our mind, and with our soul. He's the one that's going to judge us in the end, not one another. So the scripture teaches, and even back in Luke, we were reading earlier, and even in Matthew, judge not that you be not judged. But God is the one that's the ultimate judge. He will know if it was really a good measure or not. We can't, and truthfully, we want to set our own guidelines, do we not? Scripture says every way of man is right in his own. Let me give you an example. We could say we pour the chips in, it looks full, and we go, we just bounce it one time, like, that's a good measure. It's beyond the legal. I did one time. That's good. Oh, folks, how far did Jesus go for us? How many times did he pack it down and pour it in and pack it down and pour it in until he could give no more? He gave the ultimate for you and I. Can we not do the same? You pray for me that I be faithful.